All right, you ready to get into the Word? I'm excited about this because Pastor Cam and I spoke last week, and I had spoke about humanity's greatest thieves, and the one we were discussing was the thief of fear, and I want to continue that and end up with what I believe is going to be a life-changing, transformational message that God has put in my heart, and I just want to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Father, your word renews our mind. It shows us your will, but Father, it just transforms us. As we look into your word, we go from glory to glory, faith to faith. And Father, I thank you today, right now, the Holy Spirit will teach us, lead us, guide us, and direct us. I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. I pray that you would give us revelation knowledge this morning, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you right now. We will just clear our minds not to be distracted by anything. But Lord, we will just focus on your word because we're hungry for your word. And Lord, I just thank you right now that once this seed is sown into the hearts of people, that Lord, it will bring a tremendous harvest. A good harvest in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to start out this morning to say that this message is going to have a lot of questions in it. As I was interceding and praying concerning putting this together, the Lord brought a passage of scripture into my heart, and it's this: examine yourself to see whether or not you're in faith. Examine yourself. It's great for us to do examinations and allow the Holy Spirit to do examinations on our life, how we're living, what we're doing as the body of Christ. But especially in these last days when he said that there's going to be a lot of troubles, going to be perilous times, there's going to be a lot of confusion, there's going to be a lot of deception and things that are going on inside of this earth. So when you have deception, you have confusion, that is at an all-time high, the one thing that is a great premium for us so that we're not deceived, that we understand what's going on, we know what is God and what is not God, that means that I need to sit under and listen to the truth. Truth. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So a lot of questions are going to be coming this morning. And let me also preface this by saying that with these questions, it would be great for you to actually sit down with your family, get the notes. The notes will be on our website. Get these notes and go through them. It would be great to do a home group with it, but it would be great to sit down with your teenagers and go through this. One of the problems that we're having in America today is we're not having communication like we should. Family communication, talking with our children, talking with our spouses. But this is something I believe that will open our eyes to where we are, but also give us the answers of what we need to do so that we don't fall into the deceptions of these last days. The number one thing you need to understand is this. Question number one: who is your number one enemy? Who is your number one enemy? Now, some of you might be thinking on the inside, okay, that person lives in my house. Or you may say, I work with that person. Or it's one of my relatives. Or it's this or it's that. No, it's not. Because the Bible is very clear in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says this: you do not wrestle. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. The problem is not flesh and blood. It is the entity, the spiritual entity that is behind what flesh and blood is doing. There is a spiritual entity that's the originator and the instigator of bad things. So let's look at this. Who is our number one enemy? Now listen to this. That hates you, wants to deceive you, lead you into temptation, brings adversities and trials, tries to put you into a constant state of confusion, reminds you of your past and past failures, and accuses God as being your problem and does not love you, accuses God to you being the problem and not the answer. So therefore, I want to take you and I want you to understand, because if you don't know your enemy, the Bible even says don't be ignorant of his devices. But before we have to say don't be ignorant of his devices, we can't be ignorant of him. Because the Bible warns us. And I want to show you who your number one enemy is. So I want you to look at Revelations, the 12th chapter. Shout for God's word. Verse 9 through 12. And it says this. This is a scripture given to us by God. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Watch this. Who deceives the whole world. The whole world. Everybody that is not born again has a sin nature on the inside of them, and the devil is constantly deceiving them. That's the reason he set up his whole, all of the systems that we see, the kingdoms that he has set up and the systems he set up in this world, is to take us away from God, to literally get us into a place of deception, but make us think that the things that we see in this world is the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and what I need to acquire, I get it through the world. When in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 1, it says, don't set your mind on the things of this earth. Set your mind on the things which are above, where your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. So many times we get our minds so caught up in the earth realm that we forget to seek the spiritual answers and understand from the spiritual realm what is happening in the earth realm. You can't understand what's happening in the earth realm unless you know the Word of God. Once you know the Word of God, you will see what's behind all of the things that go on. So let's look at this. He said, He deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's when he rebelled, because the Bible says at the very beginning of verse 12, and war broke out in heaven. The first war that was ever fought was in heaven against the devil and the angels that he deceived to come against God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Let me ask you something. What do you do when he starts accusing you? What do you do when he starts putting lies on the inside of your head? If God is our example, and he is, Ephesians the 5th chapter verse 1 says, be imitators of God as dear children, then if God cast him down, why don't you cast him down? So he said, and they overcame him by the blood, thank Jesus, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb means they overcame him by the life of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Listen to the definition of the word testimony. It is evidence given by the declaration of truth. It is a declaration by a witness who speaks with the authority of one who knows. So your testimony has authority. And when you speak the word of God, you're testifying concerning the truth that God has given us. So he says, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows his time is short. So here's number one. Who, not what, who is his greatest weapon? The devil. Who is his greatest weapon? Listen to 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spiritual entity. Fear is not just something in the natural realm that just comes up when somebody says boo or tries to scare us. Fear is actually a spirit. It is a very powerful spirit. To me, it is the most powerful spirit that the enemy, that the devil has to release upon or into a person's life or to attack us as Christians. And what we have to remember is this: when fear starts coming, fear of loss, fear of lack, fear of not having enough, fear that I'm not going to make it, fear, fear, fear. When I got these phobias, I got to remember that is spiritual. It is not from God. And I've got to come back and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of fear, but God has given me power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I have. And by the way, the word power there means supernatural, miraculous power. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you what fear will do. Fear will steal and expunge your value, worth, and how beneficial you are to the advancement of God's plans and purposes. Fear will exterminate your confidence and always try to point out and try to convince you that your weaknesses, your shortcomings, and failures of the past disqualify you from having a successful future. Fear will also invalidate because of your past, because of your situations. Fear will invalidate that you are called by God to achieve His purposes and help advance the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if God dealt with us according to our failures, we wouldn't have one book in the Bible, in the New Testament. We wouldn't have any of it, because we see all of the failures and the humanness of the disciples. And my gracious, we definitely would not have 1st and 2nd Peter. So don't allow the devil to qualify you and base your worth and your value to God and the kingdom of God based upon your mistakes or your failures or things that have gone wrong. Amen? That should have been a very loud amen. The spirit of fear will convince you to embrace the fear of failure, along with a lifestyle of compromise and concession to the pressures of the culture and so-called friends, or you will be rejected and laughed at daily. The spirit of fear will create confusion by questioning God's love, His word, and even questioning God's existence and the reality of Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, we actually have an account, a biblical account of a young man that was operating in and by the spirit of fear, and because of this, his value and his worth had sunk to an all-time low. He was even questioning why God had done certain things in their own nation, or why did God allow this to happen in their nation? But there's an answer to that. Let's read from Judges, the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 16. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tamarisk tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites, because the Midianites came and were constantly stealing everything that is all their harvest, all their crops, everything, their cattle. They would come in and just sweep in like terrorists and steal everything. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the midst of all this trouble, in the midst of all this chaos. The Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." He's hiding in a wine press. He's scared. He's going to lose what he has. He knows he can't make a mistake. And God comes up and says something like this: "Hello, you mighty man of valor, you man of strength. You victor, you champion." And Gideon looks at him like there must be somebody else in the wine press. Evidently, he's not talking about me. Let me just say this right now. The word of God to you right now is God is saying to you, you are much more than who you think you are. You are much more valuable than what you think right now that you are. And God is saying to the church of Jesus Christ today, you mighty man and woman of valor, of courage, you champion. Now, the key is that most of the times when I say that, I'll get a smatter of applause because most of us are looking like a calf at a new gate, never seen before, and we're like, he's talking to somebody else. He can't be talking to me because I'm in the wine press. Doesn't he understand where I've come from? Doesn't he understand what's happened to me? Doesn't he understand that I have made goof ups, that I have failed at times? And he's talking to the person down the row from me. He's not talking to me. It's amazing how we in the church cannot see what God sees in us. But here's the thing. He will always reveal it. Listen to Gideon's response, because this is also a lot of our response. And Gideon says, oh my Lord, Jesus, oh my Lord, if the Lord was with us, why then has all this happened to us? Well, let me tell you what had happened to Israel at this particular point in time. They had allowed the Canaanites, who was an ungodly, immoral society. They had allowed the influence and the voices of the prevailing culture to influence their thinking and conduct. Therefore, they began, not overnight, they began to backslide and sin, but at the same time continued to attend their religious services. And then he says this, and where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Yes, he did. Correct. But now the Lord has forsaken us. Listen to this conversation. The Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. In other words, here's what they did. They were actually blaming God for their sin, disobedience, and spiritual adultery. But you know what God does? God doesn't answer him according to the way he sees himself. God answers him in the way that God sees him. And God won't even have a conversation with him for what he just said. Listen to what he said. He said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, here he goes again. Oh my Lord. He said, indeed my clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. He's not seeing this. How is he seeing himself? Because of his circumstances. He's not only seeing himself in a certain way, but now he's going to name himself, and he's labeling himself. What did he label himself? He labeled himself as insignificant, weak, worthless, fearful, failure, abandoned by God, no longer loved by God, and forsaken by God. His names now dictated his thinking and behavior, limited his potential, deterred his future and destiny, and fear became his restriction to achieving and accomplishing the purpose and the plans that God had for him. All of a sudden, he felt in himself that he was being exiled to the Never Never Land and confined in the enclosure of, I can't, I can't, I can't, I'll never have, I'll never do, I can't, I can't, I can't, because of the way he sees himself, because of the way his circumstances and what's happened to him in the past, even within his family, are putting names upon him. This is the way he's seeing himself. But what happens? I will tell you this, God shows up with a different perspective. Just like God is showing up for many of you right now in this place and watching this broadcast, he is showing up with a different perspective. He shows up with a different perspective and a spiritual statement of truth that contradicts and challenges his fear and belief system. Let me just say this to you. God is not concerned about your evaluation of yourself because he knows your potential through his power that is on the inside of you. Let me say it one more time, okay? God is not concerned about your perspective or your valuation of yourself, because he knows your potential through his power that is inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. God will always speak truth to the champion and the warrior in you and address your potential in him and for him. God, his word, the Holy Spirit in you is your potential. Has nothing to do with what is your potential. It's who is your potential. Who, not what, is your potential. And your starting point is your potential and ability in every situation. And what is your starting point when you face any difficulty, any adversity? You have failed. You've made mistakes. Yeah, at the same time, that's your past. That's things that happened. But now you've got to turn and you've got to start. And you may be starting all over again. But what is your starting point when you start all over again? It is God, his presence, and his word. That must be your starting point. You're not the only one that's gone through stuff. You're not the only one that fights that the accuser. You're not the only one that looks in the mirror and sees things from your past or sees you as weak and helpless and I can't do this and I can't achieve this and I can't accomplish that. That's for other people. No, that's not who you are. Listen to what David said. David said when he was surrounded by terror, and it was crazy what was going on in his life, he said, I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am a broken vessel. Ever been there before? For I have many times over. For I have heard the slander. And this is a guy that God says, this is a man after my own heart. In other words, he's constantly pursuing me. He's after me. He said, for I have heard the slander and the whispering of many. You may not have heard the whispering, but did you see it on Facebook? Somebody post something, say something, didn't like you. He said, terror is on every side while they scheme together against me. They plotted to take away my life. I mean, this guy is going through right now some very difficult times. Everything that is surrounding him is totally negative. But look what he comes back and says. But as for me, say this with me. But as for me, say it again. But as for me, I trust confidently in you and your greatness, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. You are my God in this situation, and I will acknowledge you. I don't know everything that's going on. I don't know why people are doing certain things, but I will acknowledge you right now. I am your son. I am your daughter. Glory to God. I acknowledge that you are my great and mighty and awesome God. You are Jehovah Jireh. You will take care of me. You are Jehovah Rapha. You heal me. This is who you are. You are my deliverer. When I see a mountain, you see the mountain moving. When all I see is just five loaves and two fish, you see a whole multitude being fed. Glory to God. Listen to 1 John 4:4. Little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God. And you belong to him and have already overcome them. What? We mean, I'm overcoming. No, you've already overcome. You're just walking it out. You're walking it out by faith. That's what's called the fight of faith. You're fighting the fight of faith. Fighting the fight of faith. That's the only fight we're called to fight, is the fight of faith. So he said, and have overcome them, the agents of Antichrist. That means the kingdom of darkness, because he who is in you is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world of sinful mankind. Greater is in you than he that is in the world. Why is it that we look at ourselves and our own strength and our own resources and our own abilities instead of looking inward and saying, God, you live right here. I need your wisdom right now. Lord, you live right here. I thank you for helping me, leading me, guiding me, and directing me. I thank you, the greater one. No matter what I face, no matter what I see, I say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than what I am facing, my circumstance, my situation right now. So, let's get into some questions. Some personal questions. How do you see yourself in comparison to how God sees you, and what does his word declare about you? Do you really know? Do you really know? Because if you're floundering in life and your emotions are empty and you're on an emotional roller coaster, it means that you're not applying the word of God. This is not condemnation. This is teaching and instruction. I'm trying to get you into something that will turn your situation around. Turn your whole life around. Because if all you're doing is concentrating on the negativity of life, then you're not really looking in the Word of God. Number two, how are you living your life? Are you in agreement with a culture that is perverse, crooked, and disobedience to God, or living in obedience to God and His Word? I could have put a scripture with every single one of them, but you'd be here to 3 o'clock. So I'm kind of leaving this open-ended, and you know what my hope is? My hope and my belief is that you will take these notes, you will look at these questions, and you will find the answer in the Word of God. What does God say about that? Number three, are you allowing your past events or issues to define who you are, how you see yourself, and how you think about yourself? Then you're either not reading the New Testament, or you're not believing in what you're reading, and you're not speaking it over your life. What names have been spoken over you? What names have been given to you, to yourself? Did people make fun of you, pick on you, abuse you with derogatory comments that hurt and cut deeply? And are you still carrying the scars of those hurts? Because here's the one thing you need to understand. Remember, when you get into the Word of God, you know what it says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter? The washing of the water of the Word. It washes. The Word washes you. It cleanses your mind. It can actually take all of this past junk and it will just wash it away. It will cleanse it. And all of a sudden you start seeing yourself the way God sees you. And you start speaking about yourself the way God says about you. Jesus did it all the time. Apostle Paul did it all the time. Apostle Paul's writing, he said, I can do all things. That was not braggadocious. That was not pride. That was a fact and it was truth. And what he was doing was speaking out of his confidence of who he knew that he was. So did people make fun of you, pick on you, abuse you with derogatory comments that hurt and cut you deeply? And are you carrying the scars of those hurts? What mindset has a culture been allowed to develop in you through TV and news programs and educational institutions that deny God and attack Christianity? Even theological educational departments that take and twist and take the scripture out of context. What about movies or the music you listen to? And how is it affecting your thinking and your behavior? Because everything you're listening to is seed that's been planted on the inside of you. And by the way, everything that you're listening to in this earth realm, has it brought confusion concerning what you believe about the Bible and Jesus? Listen to what John says in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 3. Beloved, do not put faith in every spirit, but test the spirits to discover whether they proceed from God. For many false prophets have gone forth forth into the world. By this you may know, perceive, and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges, confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually has become man and has come in the flesh is of God, has God for its source. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but would annul, destroy, sever, disunite him, is not of God, does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you heard that it is coming and now is already in the world. Never ceases to amaze me how many Christians are influenced through TV, news organizations, educational things, other things, how Christians are now influenced to think the way the world thinks instead of thinking the way Jesus thinks and thinking of what the Word of God says. It is amazing to me. And the more we listen to this, the more we will be in confusion and the more we will fight one another. And instead of being known for love, we'll be known for racial division and hatred and prejudice and racism. And Jesus said just the opposite. The world will know that you're my disciples because of your love for one another. So my question comes from Galatians, and in the book of Galatians, it says this: who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? It says, from obeying the truth. We have allowed the earthly institutions that deny Jesus, that are antichrist spirits, we have allowed them to program our minds to think the way they want us to think and do the things they want us to do instead of doing what Jesus has told us to do and carry out the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. You can pray all day long for the healing of the nation and God would say to us this, because he spoke this to me this morning. He said, I have already given the healings. I've already given the healing of the nations through my son, Jesus Christ. I've already given you the healing. Don't ask me to do your work and take your responsibility for preaching and teaching the gospel. He said, go and preach and teach my word and healing will come to the nations. Let me ask you this. Have you checked your personal behavior patterns lately? How much time do you spend on social media versus growing and maturing spiritually? You can ask your kids that. But don't ask them, parents, unless you're going to lead them, guide them, and direct them. Amen? Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching good. Have you become in the last 12 months more loving to others, praying more, encouraging others, hungry for the word, for God, his word, and wanting to serve and help others? Are you still excited about church and being with the community of believers? Have you become isolated, accusatory, speaking things that promote division, disobedient, angry, spreading discord, cynical, discontented, full of fear, distrust? Have you become more politically minded than spiritually minded? And are you attending and watching church more, or is your spiritual interest, love, and hunger for Jesus diminishing and growing cold? It's a question that must be answered in the body of Christ today. because Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 12 and 14. And the love of the great body of people, and the word love there is agape, means God's kind of love. He's actually talking about God's church. He's talking about his people. We have an example of that in Revelation, the third chapter, with the Laodicea church that became lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'm ready to spew this out. I'm ready, and gave him opportunity to repent. But Jesus said, listen, in the last days before I return, he said, be aware of this, the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But now listen to verse 13. But he who endures to the end, that means there must be perseverance. There must be endurance. And endurance is not just something that, oh, I'm just barely getting by. No, it is an active, energetic resistance to the things that are contrary to God's word. And here, you want to see the nation healed? You want to see our nation healed? You want to see nations around the world healed? We have one commission. Yes, sir. One commission. Jesus Christ did not come to Jerusalem, or Paul did not go to Rome to reform a political system. They both came to preach the kingdom of God. They both came to preach and to teach that Jesus is Lord. They came to preach the kingdom. They went about healing and doing these things. And what happened? Rome is in God's hand. Rome fell because God took care of that. Paul's responsibility was to get people saved, to preach the gospel, to get the good news and the word out. That is still our calling. That is still our commission today. It is for us to go out and do the works of Jesus. That is not changed. And for some reason, fear has said, do I pray for our nation? Yes, I pray for our nation. Do I vote? Yes, I vote. But I am a pastor. I am not a political activist. That's what I've been called to be. I'm called to pastor. I've never had so much hate mail and people saying things about me because I won't get up and take sides politically. I'm going to read something to you in just a minute of what God told us and tells me to do concerning my concentration. And he says, and that this good news of the kingdom of the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony. That is our responsibility to all nations. Then will come the end. The Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to Timothy about the coming influence of the prevailing culture on Christianity, he said this, and this is for us today, because here is my position in anything. I do not become political in this platform, in this pulpit. I will not, I never have, and I will not. Yes, sir. We have allowed people to come in that are running for certain offices and things like that, and the only reason that we have allowed them to come in is because we want them to get saved. And let me say this to all my haters. We have had a multitude of politicians who have come into this service and have repented and got saved and received Jesus as the Lord of their life because they heard the truth. Here's my role as a pastor. Here's my role as a pastor. Here's what Paul told Timothy. The same thing the Spirit of God says to me. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. This nation is in God's hands. Don't sit around and think that you have not seen miracle after miracle after miracle. It was a miracle that we won the Revolutionary War. That was an absolute miracle. It has been miracle after miracle after miracle because God, His hand is on this nation. And as long as the righteous are praying, and as long as we are ministering and carrying out our responsibility, God will take care of everything politically. And if it goes one way or the other way, I will still stand and preach God's word, even if I have to do it on a street corner because I have nothing else left. Preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right and even when it's not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. It is amazing how many times you try to do that in this day and time and people leave. They're out of here. And why do they leave? You're going to find out in just a minute. Correct those who err in doctrine and behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing toward spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. For a time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine or accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one right after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. Which brings me to the next question. Are you dealing with confusion about your identity, whether you are male or female? Let me just read the Bible. Can I read the Bible to you? I'm going to, whether you like it or not. I'm going to. So God created man in His own image. In His image and likeness, God created him, male and female, He created them. Anything outside of that comes from demonic influence. That puts thoughts in your mind and causes feelings to come up and impulses that is not of God. This is the way God created us. He didn't create anything else. He didn't put a woman in a man's body and a man in a woman's body. He created us male and female. All you got to do is stand in front of the mirror and you'll know. So listen to what James says. James, the third chapter, verse 15 and 16. This superficial wisdom that is being spread, these lies and deceptions that are being spread all over this nation. This superficial wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder, which means confusion, unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practices. In other words, if you're believing what's out there, that means that someone is preaching their ideology and philosophy to you. And if you don't know the Word of God, then their ideology, which sounds good, may even have some scriptures and condones. And the word condones, the definition of condones means this: to accept at a New Oxford Dictionary, to accept, approve, and allow behavior that is considered morally wrong and offensive to continue. So people may even have scriptures and condones your chosen lifestyle, and gradually becomes the foundation of your thoughts, your speech and behavior, and the anchor in your life. Therefore, what the enemy wants to do is bring confusion. And if he can bring confusion, when you hear God's word, you will have a tendency to despise it and reject it, or believe that it is non-relevant for the culture and in the 21st century and is out of touch with the issues and the lifestyles today. And there are churches and denominations right now that are teaching openly and encouraging people into immoral lifestyles, perversion and other things. And it's our job to show them in the Word of God, to warn them and say, that is deception, that is false teaching, that is not the Word of God. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 6 chapter say, because Paul had to warn the Corinthians. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have any share of the kingdom of God?" Now listen to what he says to the church. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. As if that we can live any lifestyle that we want to and just float through this time on earth, and we can just do anything we want to do, and we have the grace of God. But Titus, the second chapter, verse 11 and 12, it says, the grace of God teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's what the grace of God teaches us to say, instructs us to say. That's what the grace of God is. The grace of God is the empowerment by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give us the ability and give us the strength and the boldness to live this life. That's the reason if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is subsequent to you being born again. The same thing with the disciples. Jesus would not allow them to go out and do what he had called them to do without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How much more do we need it today in these last days? He said, do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate by perversion, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, whose words are used as weapons to abuse, insult, humiliate, and intimidate, or slander. How are you talking to your spouse? How are you even talking to your children? Watch this. And such were some of you before you believed, but you were washed by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You were sanctified, set apart for God, made holy. You were justified, declared free of guilt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God, the source of the believer's new life and changed behavior. So again, let me ask you this. What kind of negativity has been developed in your mind by words and actions that came from family members, relatives, friends, that is now affecting your behavior and thinking? See, when you grow up, depending on what happened in your family, depending on how people made fun of you or whatever, but when you grow up, you have no defense against the language and the declarations of an adult as a child. You have no defense against that. So people can literally put on you names, labels, say things about you, and they're seed. Those words are seed, and they go on the inside of us. And we live with them, and the enemy takes those seeds and brings those seeds to life at times. And even when we get born again and we're cleansed of our sins and we are forgiven, the devil will still go into our old file and pull it out and say, oh, no, because all he wants to do is stop our advancement. He wants to stop our progress. He doesn't want us to become the influencers and the champions and the warriors that God knows that is inside of every single one of us. He wants to keep us weak and insignificant and worthless and helpless. That's the way he wants us to see ourselves. And the devil is a liar, and he's a father of lies. Are people telling you what you should be doing with your life that is diametrically opposite of what the Bible teaches or what you are being led by the Holy Spirit because he knows God's will for your life and God's word? Listen to Romans, the 8th chapter. No way I'm going to finish this. But you'll have the notes. Listen to Romans 8, chapter verse 12 through 14. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity, to live according to the impulses of the flesh, our nature, without the Holy Spirit. For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you're going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Listen, these impulses, these old names, these old labels, they're all lies from the pit of hell. It is not who you are. God told me today to call out the champion and the warrior on the inside of you. Quit backing up. Quit cowering back. Get the boldness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is time that we stand up and believe who we have been called to be and do what God has called us to do. For it is God who lives on the inside of us to will and to do His good pleasure. You're not insignificant. You're not worthless. You're not weak. You are in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're not weak and helpless. You're a mighty man and woman of God. And when these lies come in that's been in you for quite some time, rebuke them. Cast them out and cast them down in the name of Jesus. You go out of this place with boldness. You go out of this place knowing who you are. You are significant. How valuable and how much worth are you to God Himself? Just look at the cross. Look at the cross. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. That's what God saw in you. That's how much you're worth. And every human being out there is being lied by the devil and deceived by the devil. Just like we all were. All of them. And you know what God wants? You know what He wants? I'll tell you what He wants. He wants to see love dominating His church. How in the world can we proclaim Jesus is the answer when we are embracing racial division and prejudice and all this kind of stuff? How can we say that Jesus is the answer if we're fighting one another, cussing one another, attacking one another on Facebook and social media? There's not one place in the Bible where it says for you attack people because they have some political preference. It says just the opposite. To love one another, period. To love God and love one another. The world will know that you're My disciples because of your love for one another. He didn't say love everybody that looks like you, acts like you, and talks like you. The whole body of Christ is made up of every race. My gosh, get your focus on heaven. What does heaven look like? What is around the throne of God? Every tongue, tribe, and nation together, working together, loving, worshiping together. See. The devil has done such a great job in dividing this nation. The only thing God has ever divided was the Red Sea. God's into unity. He is love. He's in harmony. If you have a problem with something that you're seeing and hearing, you're to go and pray about it. When has God put everything in our hands and He does nothing? What He's put in our hands is preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus, loving those who are captured by sin, not condemning them and beating them up. Have we not read the Bible where it says that all of those that are doing crazy things were just like you one time? Have you forgot where you came from? Have you forgot what God has delivered you out of? Have you forgot how God saved you? Have you forgot when you made mistakes and you did crazy things, and even when you said you loved Jesus and repented and God's mercy and grace grabbed a hold of you? Why now are we attacking people? Why now are we putting people down? In our families, we should be growing with a whole atmosphere of love. Our children should understand the power of love, not the power of the culture, but the power of love, the power of His grace, the power of His mercy. When's the last time you've had grace and mercy? Hey, some of you, it may be that your prayers are not being answered and things are going because you have no mercy, you have no grace, you've been attacking. It's all about love. Love is the only thing that never fails. Even if I operate in love and somebody takes advantage of me, okay, I'll do what Jesus said. If they tell me to go a mile, I'll go 2 miles. If they want my shirt, I'll give them my jacket and anything else they want. It's love. Love saved you. Love went to the cross for you. Love died for you. A horrific death. What has happened to us? Who has bewitched us? Why have we been saturated in listening to everything out in this world as if God can't take care of it? God took care of Rome. God, the Bible is very clear that all nations are in His hand, and He does with it whatever He wants to do. Do I pray for our nation? You have no idea how much I pray. Yes, I pray for our nation because it tells me in the Word of God to do it. But then I come out of that, and once I come out of that, it's in God's hands, and now what do? I go and love people. I go and love people. People are looking for love. People are hurting. They're broken. They're bruised. The darkness is in this life right now. That's all around us. They're screaming. They're crying out. They're hurting. They're bruised. They're broken. They're empty. They're frustrated. They're committing suicide. And what are we doing? Fighting one another. If you're going to do social media, at least preach the gospel. I'm through. I got it all out. Come on, let's stand up and worship Him. Come on, stand up. Hey, worship team back there, come here. Are they back there? Worship team, come here. I want you to raise your hands right now. And if you know that there are things that you have said, things that you've been up on social media, or things that you've done, or you have allowed the world to absolutely just penetrate your mind, and now you're in confusion and you don't know what to do. You know, I tell you, just the other day I was saying, God, if I have been in any way, shape, or form, any way a divider, if I have said anything, Lord, that is not contrary to your word, Father, forgive me, so that people can see love. People can see love out of my heart. The love of God. That's what he desires. He does not desire our selfish ambition. He wants us to be ambitious for the kingdom, and he'll take care of everything else. He doesn't want us to be jealous and envy of one another. And let me just say this, there is no way in the world that you can ever be fulfilled without Jesus in your life. It's impossible. You don't know love without Jesus in your heart. You don't know what it is to live without God forgiving you of all your sins, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't drag the old baggage with you. All things have become new. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Brand new. Brand new. Before I close, are y'all out here? I can't see with those lights. Hey, before I close, I want to ask you one thing. If you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, this is the greatest invitation ever in the human race, the history of the human race. It is, receive Jesus into your heart and let God forgive you of all your sins. You'll become a brand new person. All things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. You'll be brand new, just like I was, as a rank, ungodly, perverse sinner. And God came and forgave me. Forgave me of all my sin. And I became brand new, to the point that my own dad scratched his head and asked me, "What in the world has happened to you? Why aren't you going out and doing all these things?" I said, "Dad, I got born again. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My whole life just totally, completely changed." And that's been 50 years ago. And I have not gone back on that in any way, shape, or form. I'm still that new creature. But I've grown and matured in the Lord. And if you've been away from the Lord, let me tell you the greatest news in the world. The Bible says, God says, if you repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. He'll forgive you right now. He will cleanse you up. And man, he will take you and say, "Let's go now." Don't try to get him into a conversation about where you've been and what you've been doing. Because he won't have it with you. Just like he would Gideon. He won't talk to you about that. He'll just say, "Come on now, I got some great things for you to do. I got some things for you to do and people for you to reach." That's the God I see in the Bible. That's who he is. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, hey, by the way, let me just say this. Being confirmed in a religion will not get you into the family of God or get you into heaven. Growing up in a Christian family will not get you into heaven. You personally have to say, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I believe that you're the Son of the living God, and I accept you right now into my life. Take over my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior." He will save you right now. And if you ask him to forgive you, if you've known him but you've backslidden, he will forgive you right now. Forgive you. You will not walk out of this place the same. You'll be totally changed. I'm going to pray. And you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be born again. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Or, Pastor, I've gotten away from the Lord. I'm coming back home today. That's you. Shoot up your hand right now all over this auditorium. Say, that's me. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Put your hands up. Yes, God bless you. Come on. Come on. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be in that prayer. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? Say, yes, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Yes. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anyone else before we pray? Anybody? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you right now, for this, I'll go all day long. This is what our life is about. This is not just me. It's what we as a church, that's what we are about. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray. All of you that raised your hands, just do like me. Just raise them up high right now. Just raise them up high for this prayer. And we're all going to pray together with you. Say, Father God, I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Today, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me, and you raised him from the dead. I repent of all my sin, and unashamedly and loudly I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me and saving me in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, let me say this real quickly. Those of you that got born again, it's very important. I'm speaking to you now as a pastor. It's important that you renew your mind with the Word of God. You may have repented of your sins and gone to a church that really didn't disciple you or teach you, but that's what we do here. We're committed to disciple. So our discipleship classes are on Wednesday nights, but we have things online on Wednesday nights also. But our ministers are going to be down front. For those of you that got saved today, let me say one other thing you need. Important. Two things. Baptism. Get water baptized. You can sign up online or just come down to see one of our altar ministers down here. But let me say, just listen to me. And those of you who have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God coming upon you. Listen, I was raised in a church that did not believe that until somebody prayed for me. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, it changed my life. It gave me the power to live the life that God's called me to live. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Like in the book of Acts. Don't listen to theologians and teachers that teach you out of their experience, and they've never experienced anything that is taught in the Bible. Receive what the Spirit of God has to say. Oh, Pastor David. Yes.
Lord, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And many times, like at the beginning when Pastor was praying, we pray by faith the Word of God and believe that it's done, because we have a covenant of healing. We have a covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. But at other times, he gives through a spiritual gift called a word of knowledge, a specific word of us, like a specific disease. A word of knowledge is a specific thing that's happening that is true right now that God wants to do.
And it's in 1 Corinthians.
It's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 11, if you want to go read that, all about the spiritual gift of the word of knowledge. And so the word of knowledge the Lord gave me was very specific, that he is going to heal those who have a blood disease. I don't know if that's people here. I believe it probably is, because he's reminding me there's many different types of blood diseases. And also those who are watching, there's many different types of blood diseases. And when a person gives a word of knowledge, if that's not you, you rejoice with that person who gets that word of knowledge, right? And you pray for them and believe with them. If it's for you, when a word of knowledge is given, it comes with that faith to believe. And all you have to do is say, I receive it because I know that's right. Me, Lord.
Right.
And so I'm going to pray for you. But also what the Lord reminded me of also was to pray for this, that there's couples, men and women, who are married, and there's a blood condition that when the husband and the wife's blood are not compatible, it makes it very, very difficult to conceive a child. And if that's you, the Lord says, I am healing that condition in you today. And so what I'm asking you to do, if that's you, if you're here, take the hand of your spouse, if this is you, for you to receive this. If this is you at home, take the hand of your spouse to receive this. And I'm going to pray. Are y'all with me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word right now. Father, we thank you that you are healing every blood disease that is known to mankind. Every name that has been named that is a blood disease, you bow your knee right now to the name of Jesus and you go from their body. In the name of Jesus, we have a covenant of healing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare right now, by the word of the Lord, cleansing, healing of the blood of every person right now. Cleansing, healing of the blood right now. And for those couples who have been unable to conceive because of the incompatibility of their blood, we speak a miracle right now by the word of the Lord that you will conceive, you will carry that child to full term, and you will have a healthy baby in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We decree it by the word of the Lord. We declare it and we receive it. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said,
hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're getting ready to dismiss, but the Lord just dropped this in my heart. As I was standing there and praying along with all of you, the Lord just dropped this into my heart. He said, it won't be long. I will take you back to two services. I will take you back to two services. And he said this, for I am sending the lost to you. I'm sending the hurting and the broken and the bruised to you. But let me just say this. Listen, folks. Listen. We are to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is coming back. This whole world, the way it's going and the system's going, is exactly what the Bible says. But in the meantime, there is a sense and a state of urgency. Listen to this. We must man every position. We must get our focus back on the kingdom. And for us to be able to do that, we need people to step up and to volunteer in children's ministry, in media ministry, in a ministry out there, welcoming people, usher ministry. We need to replenish. We need to move in all of these areas. So the only thing I can ask you is to look on our website and start signing up. Serve where? Because God is going to send a harvest. God is going to send a harvest.